This is a May Luna Media production. You're listening to Love, Light, and Black Holes. I'm your host, Morgan Garza, here to remind you of your disco ball soul so you can dance with your darkness. If you're sick of love and light spirituality like I was, you're in the right place. We keep it real, go deep, and give voice to your shadow so your light shines even brighter. Enter the void. Welcome to my favorite time of the week where I get to do the work that fuels my soul and fills me with so much joy, and I hope it fills you with joy too. Another week of Love, Light, and Black Holes, another week of diving into the deep, of course, because that's what we do around here, y'all. So welcome back if you are joining us again, and welcome here if you are here for the first time. I am so interested to hear what you all have to say about this one because it is not socially acceptable, and we are talking about anger and rage and not being chill all the time because this is the dark side of inner peace. Everyone is trying to regulate their nervous system. All I see on my feed in Instagram and in TikTok and wherever else is that everyone is talking about nervous system regulation. And what this tells me is that we are not expressing enough emotions to regulate our nervous system. And believe me, my nervous system needed regulating real hard over these past couple years. And what I did to actually regulate it was to feel. So with everyone trying to regulate their nervous system, maybe the real medicine isn't peace. Maybe we shouldn't be chasing this inner peace, this thing that's off in the distance, to come and be calm and have this well of deep and loving flowing energy within us. Maybe it's permission. Maybe that is the medicine. Maybe it's permission to scream and rage and cry and wail and shatter and break open and stop pretending calm is the goal. Because is that really possible? Is that really reality? Is that really something that we actually have access to be in peace? I have always said this, and I think it's such a beautiful thing to bring into this, but anyone can be a monk sitting on a mountaintop meditating. You can meditate on a mountaintop when you have no distractions, no worries, no stress, no care in the world, and you are surrounded by nature in a beautiful place. Yes, of course, you can dive deep and meditate. But can you do it in the middle of the city? Can you do it in the middle of the workday? Can you do it in the 15 minutes you have between lunch and your next meeting, or going to pick up the kids, or doing all of the laundry and the dishes? Can you do it then? Or are you only able to be spiritual when everything is calm and chill and you don't have all of the stressors of modern life around you? If your inner peace is your personality now, maybe you're suppressing the wildest, most powerful part of your healing. I was trying to be in a soft girl era. I was trying to regulate my nervous system. I was trying to come into a place where I could heal my adrenals from being totally and completely blown. But what I realized is that being calm didn't give me the relief that I was looking for. Allowing myself to feel all of the things that I had been so desperately avoiding was when I really found relief and when I really actually rested. And I talk about sacred rage a lot in the Way of the Witch Coven that I lead with Saged. And for the past 2 years, we have done sacred rage ceremonies where we cry and scream and guttural scream from the depths of the soul and let it all out. And I also did this at a retreat that I was at last year. And it is such a powerful, potent activator that I have been playing with the idea of rage because it is something that we as modern humans avoid. It is something that we are told not to do, to hide, to not get mad. If anyone gets mad in wherever, whatever public scenario you're in, you are typically chastised for it. And it's seen as like, oh no, they're so mad. But when someone's happy and frolicking and skipping and having some whimsy in their life, we're not like, wow, look at that, they're so happy. We're like, yes, I love that energy, go for it. Or maybe, I don't know, some people might be pessimistic, but rage is something that we are told not to feel since we are little. We are told not to cry. We are told not to feel. We are told not to be mad. We are told to suppress. And so as we grow up and we've learned these behaviors, we think that calm is like a status symbol. It becomes something like this beacon off in the distance that we are trying to attain. But what we really need in order to feel that calm is to be fucking human and to feel everything. And I don't want to be calm if I can't also be mad and sad and wail and have this grief move through me. And especially over the last few years, I had no choice but to feel the grief that was moving through me. It was so present and in my face. And right when I thought that I was done with one wave of grief, and I poked my little head up out of the water and I was like, oh, okay, I think I'm gonna be okay. A whole huge wave would crash and a whole nother thing that would bring me to my knees would be happening. And so I didn't have a choice. And so while I've been moving through this activation, integration, embodiment, awareness, acceptance of all of the things this, all of 2025, since I lost my dad and since all of the other things, I am coming to this place where I don't want to be chill. I don't want to be the cool girl anymore. I don't want to just be calm. I want to say the thing in the moment. I want to get it off my chest. I want to not bottle things up anymore. And I want to be mad when I'm mad. I mean, it takes a lot to get me mad. Like, it really does. But at the same time, when I get to that point, I want to be able to, I want to allow myself to be able to feel it. And I want to move into a place where I am accepting myself and my grief and my rage and not trying to mask it as something else, because sacred rage is just that. It is sacred. It is necessary. It is vital. It is a life force. It is something that moves through you that carries so much energy. And Brené Brown said it perfectly. You cannot selectively numb emotions. If we numb anger and grief and rage, we're numbing joy too. This is why I always talk about the darkness stealing from the light. It dims the light if the darkness gets so big and you're not addressing it. So if you cannot selectively numb emotions, then what are we actually doing trying to just find peace? This is the dark side of chasing peace. It's realizing that you are also putting everything else on the back seat, on the back burner. If you're putting rage on the back burner, then you're putting your joy on the back burner too, because you can't fully enjoy something if you are secretly enraged inside. I mean, put yourself in a scenario where you've gone out with friends, you get a text from your partner, and you're fighting, and you are in this bad mood and you are mad, you're angry, you're pissed, but you're out with your friends, so you want to have fun, but you can't actually let loose. You can't really go there, right? You can't fully be immersed in the experience because you're so mad. That is exactly what I'm talking about. It's emotional constipation. It is stealing one thing from another to make ends meet. It is robbing Peter to pay Paul. And this is your emotions, your life that we're talking about. Calm can be a trauma response. Trying to be calm, chasing calmness, is suppressing so much. I'm not saying that I don't want to be calm, I don't want to be relaxed. I'm not saying I don't rest blissfully without guilt. I'm just saying that when you have it all, when you feel it all, when you allow yourself to be your entire disco ball soul, then you truly experience rest and peace and joy and bliss and anger and rage and grief and sadness and on and on and on. But if you have the chronic chill girl or chill guy energy, you're never upset, nothing ever bothers you, you're not mad, you're just like chilling, you're unbothered, you forgive too fast, oh no, it's fine, don't worry about it. If you're quiet instead of honest, like, these are all clues to help you realize what you are holding yourself back from. And if you are appeasing as a survival strategy, then being calm and pleasant and steady because explosiveness felt unsafe, whether growing up or in your life or with relationships or at work or whatever, you are stealing from yourself by appeasing. You are keeping the peace. I spent so long keeping my mouth shut to keep the peace that I became physically ill. Literally, the body keeps the score. My body kept receipts. My body said, that time, that time, that time, that time, all these times that I didn't say anything when I knew in my intuition, I knew. And I was right, but I didn't say anything in the moment, and I stuffed it down and I appeased and I kept the peace, and I shot myself in the fucking foot, and I created dis-ease in my body. That is not the vibe. That is not what we are doing in 2026. We are at the end of 2025, if you are listening to this in real time. This is the year of the crumble. This is the year of endings. This is the year when everything stops. Stops making sense. Stops feeling right. All of these things in your life that are ending, that are leaving you, feel into them because they are all leading you to something different. They are all showing you what no longer works. And if what no longer works is keeping your mouth shut to keep the peace, listen to that. This doesn't mean that you have to go ballistic on everybody and just be crazy and rude and mean and abusive. It just means that in the moment, say the thing. Give yourself the peace of saying your peace. Don't hold it in. Don't hold it back. Don't meditate on it. Say it. Get it out of your body. Make it someone else's problem. And I mean, that sounds fucked up, and I kind of want to take that back, but I'm going to leave it in here and I'm not going to edit it out, because once it's not on your chest, on your heart, in your soul, it doesn't affect you. Someone else has to respond and react, and that creates communication, hopefully. But this is where you truly come into your power, when you allow yourself to be completely alive with all of your emotions. Peace without aliveness is just disassociation in a prettier outfit. You are disassociating. You are cutting yourself off from what really matters. And being truly alive, being fully alive, you access joy and anger and grief and desire and intensity. This is the full human experience. If you're only living in the light and ignoring everything that you deem dark, you are going to rob your light. You are going to slowly unscrew your light bulb until it starts flickering and glitches out, and then your lights are off. And then you have no idea why. The power is out in the house. You are submerged in darkness. And you did this to yourself. Believe me, I did this to myself. I am saying this to me as much as I'm saying this to you, and I'm saying this with Taurus tough love, because it's Scorpio season. And because you need to fucking hear it. Because your nervous system does not need regulation. You need to be angry. You need to feel everything, and your nervous system will naturally regulate. Yes, of course, a regulated nervous system is important, but if that's all you're chasing, you're missing an entire half of it. Just how, like how I talk about manifestation, if you're only manifesting and calling in and you're not releasing and doing shadow work tandem, simultaneously, you are never going to get to the place that you want. And if you get there, you're not going to be able to hold it. You're not going to have the resonance and the capacity to hold what it is that is coming into your life, because you are ignoring an entire half of your being. Sacred rage is so important. And Clarissa Pinkola Estes, who wrote Women Who Run With the Wolves and is an incredible storyteller and just a beacon in the community, she writes that a woman cut off from her anger is a woman cut off from her instincts. But this isn't only women, and I know only women don't listen to this podcast, so this is from a dudes too. A person cut off from their anger is a person cut off from their instincts, because you are suppressing, because you are denying, because you are removing a whole truth from your life. And this isn't just feminine work, obviously. This is the work of human. All genders have been domesticated into emotional politeness, especially men. Men don't cry is what you hear as a man from the age of like 2, probably. You keep it in, you bottle it up, and you eventually have explosions where the pressure becomes too much. You have to let off steam. But what if we let off steam continuously? Like, you know, have you ever been on a street and a bus drives by and they let out that huge, like, choo, like that noise? they're continuously letting off pressure. I think it's their brakes. I feel like my husband told me that once because I was like, what the fuck is that? And I feel like he was like, that's the brakes. But whatever, it doesn't matter what it is. For this analogy, it matters. The continuous release is what is so necessary to keep moving. Because rage isn't the opposite of peace. It's the doorway to it. Like, rage is not the shadow of peace. Rage is just rage. Rage is. But it is also a portal to so much more when you allow yourself to feel it. When you allow yourself to truly be in this space of holding it. And like I shared before, there was a period of time in my life where I knew things were happening and I didn't say anything and I denied myself my intuition. And that was the hardest. That was the hardest thing after everything came out, that I had to forgive myself and really do some serious reflection and diving deep into me, into why I didn't say things when I knew. And what that did to my intuition, it atrophied it. It's like a muscle, and it became atrophied. So when I finally came back to myself, I had to be really fucking honest with what I did to myself, with what I did to perpetuate the problem, with what I did when I knew I shouldn't do it, with what I allowed. And I talk about allowance of the self so much, but this cracked me wide open because I had to take ownership. It was no longer what happened to me, what someone did to me, what someone did to hurt me. It was what I allowed. It was what I denied in myself because I wasn't willing to be truthful with myself. I was lying to myself. I was avoiding the situation. I was appeasing and keeping the peace. And I was shattered about it. I was so hard on myself. I was like, how could I have done that? How could I have seen all of the red flags, all of the signs, listened to my intuition? I heard my intuition. Obviously, I didn't listen to it and act on it. But how could I hear my intuition screaming these alarm bells? And I was still like, no. Like, that's not convenient right now. We're not going to say that. I don't want to go there. Let's just pretend this doesn't exist and hope it goes away. Doesn't work like that. Things don't just go away. And this broke me open in a way that I vowed to never do it again, to never put myself in that kind of emotional and spiritual danger to the point that I denied my intuition, to the point that my intuition felt like, all right, well, clearly I'm not needed around here. So I'm just going to go away. And like, my intuition became duller. It was not good. I do not recommend it. So this is why I'm so passionate. And I feel like I'm talking really fast about this. Because rage, emotion in general, is so important. It is so necessary. And if we're just chasing peace, if we're just chasing regulation, that happens naturally when you allow yourself to feel it all. The nervous system needs completion, not suppression. And when you move into the body and realize that the body is keeping the score, where is it living physically? Emotional trauma is physical. And this is something I believe with my entire being because I have experienced it so many times, so many flare-ups in this one space in my back when I get stressed or when I get really emotional or when something like is really bothering me and I'm spinning about it in my head. I have a flare-up of this muscle spasm in my back right behind my heart. My body wants to roar. So if your body wanted to roar, but you whispered instead, that energy doesn't disappear. It calcifies. It anchors. It festers. It takes up residence. And it makes itself known. the spiritual wellness trend of constant regulation keeps people from ever fully discharging the emotional charge, just like the bus and the brakes and the chhh sound that comes out. Continuous discharge is so much better than having these giant explosions and then having emotional hangovers and having to go do damage control because you were a dick and you left a wave of destruction because you're not honoring your emotions. Because we learned this when we were children, we are still acting like children. We are still acting like the children that learned to suppress rather than to express. So even though we're adults walking around with mortgages and bills and jobs and children and cars and whatever else you have in your life, if you're still suppressing, you are acting like a child. I promise you. And I'm sorry to say this. I'm proverbially holding your hand while I say this because I'm saying it to myself too. When you want to move into expressing, you don't have to go into the woods with a crowbar and beat the shit out of some dirt. You can scream in your car. This is one of my favorites. I love the primal scream in the car because it's easy, it's accessible. You can do it while you're driving, you can do it at a stoplight, you can do it in your garage, you can do it in your driveway, you can do it in Walmart parking lot. Like, you can do that anywhere. You can also scream into a pillow. I love also putting on music and just like shaking my entire body, like dancing, but just shake, rattling and rolling and not caring what it looks like, not pretending like I'm at, like, you know, some music festival dancing. Like, I'm like, just move my body primal around the fire as if I were an ancient human dancing. This trauma discharge through shaking is massive. And this is what people in somatics talk about so much, just this shaking. And EFT tapping, of course, this is a big one. I got certified in EFT tapping in 2020 because I was obsessed with it. And at that point, I'd done it for probably like 5 years. And I realized how much it moved my energy and how much it helped me get to my subconscious. So EFT tapping is massive. You can look up EFT tapping for literally any kind of ailment, from money to anxiety to flying to eating disorders to sleep to whatever on YouTube. There are millions of videos on YouTube for EFT tapping. Brad Yates is the OG. He's one of my favorites. I have a couple videos on there, not many. But EFT tapping is massively helpful. You can also rage journal. You can write everything down and just let it all out, and you can burn it, you can bury it, you can flush it in little pieces, of course. Or you can just keep it in your journal, and like, that's just, you know, a map of who you are and where you've been. Or you can do breath of fire, pounding on pillows. You can go to a break room or a rage room. I've been to several of these between Denver and Phoenix, and it is so fun. You get like 20 minutes, which at first you're like, that's not very long, and I'm paying like $70 for this. But by the end, you are exhausted. You're panting, you're breathing heavy, you're sweating. Your entire body is like alive with this energy. It is the most fun thing. I love it. I actually took my parents and my husband 1 year for Christmas, which might sound like a weird Christmas gift, but we needed it at the time. There was a lot of family shit going on, a lot of anger, a lot of rage, not between us, but like with external family members, extended family members. And I knew we all needed it, my dad especially. And we went, and I loved getting to see him just go fucking ham and like take a bat or a crowbar, or just chuck something across the room. It feels so good. And I put on Rage Against the Machine, and you can just like scream while you're doing it. Highly recommend. But you don't need a 90-minute somatic class. You don't need to pay $70 to go break shit in a room. Sometimes you just need to close the door and finally let it out. Scream into a pillow, shake your body, and get it out so that it can move through you. Because peace after rage hits so different. It feels earned. It's not just like I just sat on the couch all day and I'm calling this peace. It's like it's the same feeling as like I went to the gym and I worked really hard and I feel really good, or I went on a hike or I went on a run or whatever, went rollerblading, like whatever your movement of choice is. And then you rest and it feels so satisfying, so well deserved, because you exerted yourself so strongly. This is the exact same thing with peace and rage. If you are looking for peace without first getting your shit out, it's not gonna feel as good. It's just gonna feel like, okay, yeah, you know, I sat around for a few hours and put my phone on Do Not Disturb and either read a book or stared at the wall or watched a movie or whatever, and you're calling that peace, but you still have this angst inside. That ain't it. That ain't it. Real peace cannot exist without capacity, and the capacity to hold rage is where you find it all. If you can't hold rage, your peace is fragile. If you can't hold grief, your joy is fleeting. And if you can't hold discomfort, your confidence is make-believe. And this is really where it gets real. Because you start to realize, wow, I've been holding back. I've been playing small. I've been keeping my mouth shut. I've been whispering when I should have been roaring. And this helps everything. It changes everything. Your rage isn't a problem. It's your power source. Your darkness is your power source. You don't get power from the light. Maybe you do. Maybe wonderful things happen and they feel really good, but it's just like a surge. Longevity, power that is evergreen, this undercurrent of power comes from the darkness. And I know that's inconvenient to hear, and I know it's not easy to dive into your darkness, and I'm over here, the poster child, and getting all worked up and riled up and so stoked about shadow work and the darkness. But do you think that I would center my entire career around this if it didn't work? If I didn't feel it? If I didn't personally go through it and see the fruits of this literal labor of looking at the darkness? This is shadow integration. This is wholeness. This is the future of spirituality, not sanitized, not love and light, but whole and sovereign. I'm going to make Disco Ball Soul happen. I promise you I will. Because the calmest people I know are the ones who have screamed into a pillow at least once a month. They are chill as fuck. They are actually unbothered because they are getting all of the things out of them that need to come out. Inner peace is not a vibe. It's home. It is a home you build in yourself after the storm has passed. Regulating your nervous system isn't work. It's automatic when you release everything that dysregulates it. And sometimes the only way to get to that home is through the storm. And you gotta go through it. So let your rage breathe. Let your grief move. Let your truth speak. Then watch how much softer peace becomes, how much easier, how effortless it is when it's finally real. You don't have to work for peace. It happens when you do the work. Ooh, let me know what you think. Let me know when you rage. Let me know if you're a screamer, a crier, a shaker, a smasher. I want to know. I love hearing from you all. Thank you for tuning in. This is the best. Love, light, and black holes. I'll see you next week. Thanks for diving into the void with me. If today lit something up in you or cracked something open, follow the show and leave a review so we can magnetize more shame slayers and shadow sparklers into this world. Want more? Step through the portal at lovelightandblackholes.com. That's where the wild magic lives. Until next time, dance with your darkness like it's your favorite song, and watch the whole universe light up.